6 out of the 10 most viewed videos on YouTube are marketed towards kids. Baby Shark sits very comfortably at the number one spot. I'll spare you that soundbite, though. YouTube is full of kids' content that tries to get the attention of children and of the site's algorithm with bright colors and hot buzzwords. And even with the child filters on, it's difficult for YouTube to effectively sift and winnow through millions of videos to decide what's safe and appropriate for kids to watch. It's pretty much impossible for that algorithm to figure out what's truly educational or beneficial. What do parents need to know? We've got a Wisconsin expert on kids' media with us, and we'll find out what PBS Wisconsin has to offer, too. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do your kids watch YouTube? How old are they? What rules and restrictions do you have in place to keep them safe? Have you found them watching a lot of annoying video or even something that you found concerning? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Heather Kerkorian is director of the Cognitive Development and Media Lab at the UW-Madison School of Human Ecology. Heather, thanks a lot for being with us.
Yeah, thank you.
And Jen Kobolecki is associate director of education engagement at PBS Wisconsin. Jen, thanks for coming over to the radio side of Wisconsin Public Media.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Rob.
Heather, let's start with you. Kids, statistics show, I've seen it in my own extended family, they're watching a lot of YouTube. How important is it for us to study what kids are doing with YouTube and what's out there for them?
Yeah, YouTube is definitely the most commonly used media. So video content is the most common media for kids. And within that, YouTube is by far the most commonly used platform for young kids. And the average in the U.S. for kids under 8 is about 2.5 hours per day, based on our most recent estimates. So it's a substantial amount of time for kids.
And anybody who uses YouTube, as I do, know YouTube suggests things for you and sometimes autoplays things for you next. What do we know about the kind of content that kids get, especially younger kids, if they're parked in front of YouTube for more than 20 minutes or so?
Yeah, so part of the algorithm is driven by just what's most popular. So part of what you see is driven by what other people are seeing and clicking on. But it's also based on what you've been clicking on. So depending on whether kids are using a device that's just for them or a shared device that maybe their parents use too, logged into the same account, what they see might partly depend on their parents' or other family members' viewing history as well.
And a lot of your work deals with how kids interact with media. And that's part of the story here, right? Because they might click on the next shiny story. Does that make kids connect more with the YouTube media they're watching, for better or worse?
Yeah. So often what's promoted are things that YouTube and Google think that you're likely to click on and enjoy watching. Whether you actually have positive emotional responses to it or not is a different question, but you'll keep watching. And that's the most important thing for them. So for sure, the things kids are likely to click on are things that Google thinks they're likely to keep watching.
We'll dig more into the content that kids encounter. But Jen, I want to bring you in now. You're with PBS Wisconsin. You work on creating and spreading content that will be helpful and beneficial for kids. Can you talk about, first of all, the kind of content for younger kids that you offer via PBS Wisconsin?
Absolutely. Well, it is a real honor to work with PBS Wisconsin because PBS creates really high quality content. It is back from the days of when Sesame Street was on the air, created with educators in the room before it's ever shot or animated. And we have researchers involved. These are all really, really smart people that are making media that is designed to help children learn. And that is just really a pleasure. So we do that. We share nationally produced media from PBS Kids, and we also make media for some older grades here in Wisconsin.
And you don't just broadcast it. There's a presence for PBS Kids and PBS Wisconsin on YouTube. How do you try to keep a nice, clean channel that that kids and parents can count on?
Well, being wherever kids and families are finding media is a great thing. So I don't have the expertise to speak to the tracking on the different platforms, but we are out there. We want to be able for families and kids to find us. And it's great content. It's free content. It's commercial free content, which I think is also a really important point.
Talking to Jen Kobolecki, Associate Director of Education Engagement at PBS Wisconsin, and Heather Kerkorian with the Cognitive Development and Media Lab at the UW-Madison School of Human Ecology. We're looking at programs created for kids, what's available on YouTube, options we have on PBS Wisconsin, and what happens when the YouTube algorithm takes over what kids are watching. You can join in as a parent. Do you have an experience with this? Is there a source of kids' media that you have come to trust and count on? Have you seen some weird stuff pop up on YouTube over time? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. There's some weird stuff on YouTube, maybe uncanny. Here's an example of a pretty popular one video. This is the third most watched video of all time on YouTube.
Johnny. Eating
sugar. No, Papa.
Telling lies.
Okay, I watched this for the first time. This is a kid eating sugar, hopefully out of a kitchen cabinet. This is the kind of kitchen cabinet where I would think cleaning supplies might end up a lot. It didn't look like something I would have wanted a little kid to watch when I was raising little kids. They're 20 now. They can watch what they want. What is good content for kids, Heather?
Yeah, it's a complicated umbrella of things. But so one of the most common things you'll find on YouTube for kids are music videos like the one you just played that are nursery rhymes or other kind of kid-friendly videos, and also things that we would classify as wish fulfillment. So unboxing videos where they see kids opening toys or eating candy, like the example you just shared. And those kinds of things I think of as kind of the junk food of video. They're not necessarily harmful in moderation, but they're probably not very educationally valuable either. What we would want to see more of for educational value are things that are designed around an educational curriculum. So not just dropping in the occasional mention of letters or numbers or things like that, but really a whole curriculum designed around that educational content.
Now, there was a wave of articles a few years back about worse than that, where online trolls basically would produce videos with popular characters like Peppa Pigs and things like that and end up with really disturbing and violent imagery. YouTube was at that point trying to crack down. I don't know how they're doing. Do you have a sense of if at least that hazard is less hazardous now?
Yeah, it's definitely gotten better. So back, you know, the videos you're talking about, and at that time, it was completely algorithm driven. It was all automated. So it was pretty easy to trick the algorithm into choosing content that wasn't necessarily for kids or wholesome for kids. Since then, Google's incorporated some human monitors who will both look at content that's been flagged as inappropriate on YouTube Kids, for example, but also do more proactive searching, so explicitly looking for that content. So it's reduced quite a bit.
Jen, you were talking about how content is developed here at PBS Wisconsin and with PBS Kids nationally. And Heather was mentioning, you know, what goes into making quality content. Can you talk a little more about the process, how we figure out how to make stuff that's educational for kids, but not so educational they're going to not want to watch it and watch the shiny nursery rhyme video instead?
Absolutely. I can speak to that. And I want to share, too, Rob, that what's really important is not just the media itself and kind of plopping a child down in front of a screen to watch that media, but co-viewing media with your child or educators co-viewing media with their students and really helping them understand and navigate the learning that's embedded. That's really, really key to this process. But yeah, when we make media at PBS Wisconsin and when PBS Kids is making media, they are starting with a learning goal that they're trying to achieve. So I'll give you an example. There's a fairly new program on PBS Kids called Work It Out Wombats. It is a delightful show about a family of wombats that is trying to solve many problems. The learning goal that is embedded in that show is around computational thinking. You may not, that may not mean anything to you if you're wondering what that is. You use computational thinking all the time. If you have ever followed a recipe, that is computational thinking. You're doing things in a certain order. If you've ever troubleshot a problem and thought about, well, how do we make a solution to this? Those are computational thinking skills. So PBS Kids is going to have researchers and experts on computational thinking involved in the making of that show, in the way that it's animated, even the poses of the characters, having thinking poses, and the scripts, of course, are going to support different aspects of computational thinking. And we are always testing with educators and kids, and that's true for the media we make at PBS Wisconsin Education as well.
And what age range are these wombats working for?
They are working for kids ages 2 through 8.
Excellent. And Heather, I wanted to follow up on that point that Jen made about co-watching, parents watching the media along with the kids, especially maybe when there's something new that they're seeing for the first time. How important is that?
it's really important, especially the younger the kids are, the more they really benefit from co-viewing, and both in terms of increasing the good stuff, like educational outcomes, but also decreasing bad stuff. So if young kids see something they find scary or they see stereotype content, then co-viewing with parents can help minimize the potential harms of that scary or harmful content too.
We're talking to Heather Kerkorian, cognitive development and children's media expert at UW-Madison, and Jen Kobolecki, PBS educational outreach specialist, PBS Wisconsin, I should say, educational outreach specialist. Talk about the often wild world of children's content on YouTube, how it compares to what's out there on TV, on public TV, and what parents need to know about their kids' media consumption. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you remember watching as a kid on TV? On YouTube, if you're young enough for that to have been out when you were a kid. Do you think it was beneficial for you? Do you feel like it rotted your brain a little bit? And if you're a parent yourself of young kids or have been recently, what was your policy on what they watched, how they watched, when they watched it? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up next on Central Time.
This week on Beta, television and film critic Matt Zoller-Seitz talks about David Milch's brilliant reinvention of the Western, Deadwood.
And I think as the show went on, I think it was always good right out of the gate, but the more female characters they added, the richer that part of the show became.
Saturdays at 11 and Sundays at 8 on the Ideas Network.
It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We continue our conversation about children's media on YouTube, how to know what's safe, what's educational. Our guests are Heather Kerkorian, media and cognitive development expert at UW-Madison, and Jen Kobolecki, associate director of education engagement at PBS Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you seen kids' content on YouTube that you think is good, that's benefited your child, or bad, less good, disturbing, or just annoying? Is there someplace you go to for something to watch, for your kids to watch, maybe to watch with your kids or your students? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Rachel is with us in Eau Claire. Rachel, hi. Let's try that again. Rachel, are you there? There we go.
I am.
Yeah, what did you want to bring up, Rachel?
Yeah, so I am a Gen Z baby. I grew up watching early generations of YouTube. It was unfiltered. Things like Smosh came up where they have a line where it's, what's the expletive? And I'm glad that now generations are having YouTube kids, especially myself as an educator, where kids are utilizing Blippi and other educational YouTube videos where it's censored for them, where they're not being introduced to harmful content for their brains, when they're being exposed to things that aren't necessarily age-appropriate or ready for them to be exposed to yet.
And Rachel, can I ask, what age do you teach? What grade do you teach?
I'll be teaching middle school, but I've often interacted with kids below the age of 6.
All right. Thanks a lot for sharing that, Rachel. And Jen, can you talk about your outreach to teachers just like Rachel?
Absolutely. Rachel, thanks for caring about these things and the work that you do to inspire young children. Like we were sharing before, Rob, what's really important is the adults that are co-viewing with their children. And so a lot of what we do to support educators in the early childhood space is to share how we can be effective media mentors and really have meaningful media integration. So kids love those characters that they see. They love the stories. And we can use that love and excitement as an entryway to more and deeper learning. So one of the things we do is we have a cohort of librarians from around the state over the past 3 years that have done training programs with our team that help them implement PBS Kids programming into their communities. And that looks like everything from doing story times to doing a farmer's market to having a PBS Kids corner. We have one librarian based in Sheboygan who has done amazing work, and she shared that the media clips that she shows have actually extended into conversations that happen in the home between the parent or caregiver and their child. And what we know is that when the adults in kids' lives are engaged, their learning is just so much more involved and effective. So those are the success stories we want to see. We do lots of other professional development around the state. We'll be doing some conferences in person around the state, and we have virtual trainings. Folks can go to pbswisconsineducation.org to check those out.
Thanks a lot for that call. And Heather, I think you've worked on a media literacy issues with kids. And I think of that as like kind of a complicated thing that maybe starts in high school. Am I wrong? Can we start inculcating media literacy at younger ages?
Yeah, we certainly can. And it can be very basic, even at the very early ages, just preschool age kids, even just focusing on, for example, commercial content versus program content. So what's the difference between an ad and what's the purpose of an ad versus the program they're actually watching? And sometimes the lines between those things are very blurred.
Let's go back to our callers now. Scott is with us in Wausau. Scott, hi.
Hi. Yeah, animated shorts are quite a good resource for kids. They're, you know, condensed 5-7 minutes. You usually don't have English, so you gotta have to pay attention, and usually a good story. Doesn't turn dark very often.
Do you have specific titles that you go for your kids? And I think I heard one of them in the background there, Scott.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. The titles are just so varied. I mean, I think one of the channels is called CG Bros, but there's thousands of them. There's thousands of animated shorts.
Scott, thanks a lot for the call. Heather, for parents looking for something short like that, there's a lot out there, a massive variation in quality. What would you suggest people seek out?
The best recommendations for YouTube is to make sure you're using YouTube Kids, which is a subset of YouTube. It's not the YouTube main that we would just land on if we search for YouTube. And that does a lot of the filtering for you to get rid of the potentially harmful stuff, the vast majority of it. Within that, and I'm not just saying this because I'm with a bunch of public media folks right now, I promise, but my number one recommendation for parents is PBS Kids content, because it's some of the best content out there and it's freely available.
And for someone like Scott, Jen, who's looking for, say, animated bits in that 5 to 10 minute range, do you have stuff out there?
We absolutely do. And you can find those on pbswisconsin.org. We have our streaming there. We have lots of resources for parents to check out. You can turn on your television and see them there. You can go to YouTube Kids and find them. We also have lots of interactive. So there are games that families can play with their kids for a tablet. And just wonderful, wonderful resources. Those are all available on pbswisconsin.org.
Scott, thanks again for that call at 800-642-1234. Heather, do we have numbers, time limits where we say, you know, whatever, however good the video content is, this is too much for a kid of age X?
Yeah, so the American Academy of Pediatrics has guidelines for that, and it's age-based. So they say for kids 18 months and younger, they recommend minimizing screen time to the extent possible, except for things like video chat, things that are socially interactive. For preschool-age kids, kind of that 2 to 5-year-old range, they recommend no more than an hour per day. My recommendation to parents is to think a lot more about what they do want their kids to do in the day, make sure they're getting enough sleep, make sure they're playing outside every day, make sure they're having undistracted, screen-free social interaction time, like at the dinner table. Once you cover those bases, I don't set a hard limit on screen time over that.
And Jen, if I have this right, a lot of the material from PBS Kids and PBS Wisconsin isn't just the video product. There's support materials in many cases, so that there's something attached to it that isn't just watching the show.
Absolutely. And that's where a lot of our educator training comes in. We also have a huge catalog of self-paced on-demand learning that early childhood educators can access for free. For childcare providers especially, they can earn credit in a system called the Wisconsin Registry, where they track their professional development. And all of this is free. It's a way to learn how to use that media effectively with children and to help learn about media literacy and be a great media mentor for young children.
Heather, I wanted to talk about some of your research here. Now, as grownups, we take for granted. We can look at a screen and our brains interpret this two-dimensional surface into a three-dimensional story, and, you know, the narrative stitches together. Our brains aren't necessarily born understanding that. What do we know about how, you know, those younger, infants and toddlers are dealing with this weird 2D window in their universe.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe it. It violates a lot of the things we might expect based on our experience with the real world. The research shows that until about 2 years old, young kids really don't understand what screens are and what they represent. So they need a lot of help to make sense of it. Starting around 2 years old, kids start to understand really simple video content. But then there's a developmental trajectory there, and it's not until about 12 years of age that kids can understand, for example, a full-length Disney movie the way adults would.
Time for one more caller. David is with us in Rhinelander. David, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What did you want to bring up?
Well, it's not necessarily YouTube, but obviously, you know, there's streaming platforms out there, a bunch of them that are similar to YouTube. And my kids, one of his favorite shows is, and it's actually on Prime Video, is Blaze and the Monster Machines. He loves that show, and I really like it because it brings up a lot of concepts of physics and the science in general. Like in one episode, they talk about like tension on ropes as part of the show, or speed and aerodynamics, all kinds of things like that. And I just like that he can pick that stuff up from that show.
Interesting. Thanks a lot for the recommendation. Streaming a whole other part of the story. Jen, a science-related program where people can learn. These are big trucks, it looks like. Anything at in the PBS Kids world that you'd point toward for kids to learn some of those science principles?
Oh, there is so much there on that topic. Ready, Jet, Go is a program that has tons of great clips for kids to learn about the engineering design process, which is when you try to think of how I might build something, figure out where it doesn't work, revise, and then try again. There is also a great program called Eleanor Wonders Why, which is focused on science inquiry and how we can encourage our kids to be curious as they explore the natural world, as well as thinking about how they access informational texts to get answers to questions they may have about what they find out there.
David, thanks a lot for the call, and we'll leave it there. Thanks, Jen, for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Heather, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Rem.
I've been talking to Heather Kerkorian, Director of the Cognitive Development and Media Lab at the UW-Madison School of Human Ecology, and Jen Kobolecki, Associate Director of Education Engagement at PBS Wisconsin. We talked to them about children's content on YouTube and what adults need to know before letting their kids watch, and some good alternatives, including from PBS Wisconsin and PBS Kids.